European American Evangelistic Crusades welcomes you to this teaching presentation. This teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell was recorded at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. For questions regarding this teaching, or for a catalog of teaching tapes, or for a teaching magazine called The Dove, visit us at www.eaec.org. And now, let us begin our teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on November 7th, 1999, our first Sunday in November. We're continuing on teaching on earth, God's University of Faith. This is part five, and we are studying this subject that we have to take in this class, in this university, called morality. And today we're going to end up with commandment number five. I'm going to go through all the commandments, because this is part of God's morality, what He wants us to learn. Let's just pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank You. I want to praise You right now for Your presence here today. I thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit that will never leave us. We thank You, Jesus, that You are always with us. And Father, open a word to us today. Open a word in such a way, Father God, that it become alive. And Lord, we shall live and be victorious. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and I'm picking it up here, that I want to make sure that we understand that we are not saved by works, we are saved by grace. And we read from verse number 8, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We are saved totally by grace, not by works, not by doing things for the Lord, but by grace. We do good works because we have been saved. I read from my outline. It was God Himself that gave Moses the standard divine moral code. It is also known as the Ten Commandments. The first three commandments instruct us how our relationship to God shall be, what He expects from us. The fourth commandment is how God wants us to work and rest. The remaining six commandments instruct us to the proper relationship with people on this earth. In commandment number five, Exodus 20:12, we read this, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Why is it so important that children have to honor their parents? That God made a commandment. He only had 10 in there. And number 5 is this, honor your parents. Why do we have to honor our parents? Let me tell you this. Every nation is built by families. A nation is only as strong as its families. And this is why, if the family does not function, then God cannot have a nation. This week we had two more shootings, one in Hawaii, Honolulu, one up in Seattle. Every time there's a shooting, you see John Arena coming forward and say, we have to have more laws. We got to have more gun controls. We got to do something about these guns. It's the same old cry all the time. This time, they were not using illegal guns. Registered guns. They said, we got to register all the guns. Registering guns is not going to help us. You take away guns, it's not going to help us. The problem is, sin, and it starts in children. If a child does not honor his father's mother, the family breaks down. The legislators here in California, bless the dirt of their hearts, wanted to make sure that the family cannot survive. So they passed spanking laws. The Bible says, spare not the rod. The Democratic leadership here in the state said, no, we don't want to have our children spanked. They must have been raised on Dr. Spock and insanity. And today in California, if a child gets up with a parent, they get up and say, hey, Dad, I'm going to turn you in. Hey, Mom, you better not lay your hands on me. I'm going to turn you in. And all the child has to do today is to call the social services, 911, and say, I am abused, and there's a squad car there, and Daddy might just be hauled off in handcuffs. And then they will simply say, now, you know you cannot lay hands on your children. You got to talk to them. The Bible says talk to children, but also said to spank children. It says to discipline. I want you to turn with me right now to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. And this is the light that we got to bring out. Now, why is it we got so many bad laws in California in this land? The reason for that is the voters. The voters are not Christians. They're not educated. They don't know God. So we're going to get bad laws. Look what the Lord gave me here. If children do not honor their parents, they cannot receive the instructions which must be passed from generation to generation. In Deuteronomy 6, we read this. God said, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in a land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God, to keep all these statutes and commandments, which I command you, you and your son's son, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. These were commandments given to Israel by God. I want to show you something here today. In this world, there's only one group of people who have been able to be cohesive and stay together for 4,000 years. It's the people of Israel, or we call them the Jewish people today, the Israelites. Now, they have destroyed their theology. Most of them are atheists. Most of them are crazy as far as that goes. And I just got a Jewish magazine this week that simply said, actually it was last week, this is one of the most respectable Jewish magazines, simply saying this, Kabbalah goes mainstream in Judaism. But they have preserved their language. They have preserved their customs. They have preserved their nationality. They've been scattered in all nations of the world. But they speak Yiddish. They have preserved their nationality for 4,000 years. And this is something they have understood. To do that, you don't leave your children to be educated by anyone else. Jewish children do generally not attend public schools. Good afternoon, everybody. For years, centuries, Jewish children never went to public school. They educated their own children. That's why they stay generation after generation. What do we do with our children? Some of you are homeschooling. God bless you. You're doing a wonderful work. Some of you have children in Christian schools. That praise God for that. But as a nation, what do? We simply told the wackos, the liberals, quote-unquote the idiots, and said, you take over the educational system and you raise our children while we go out and make money. And they said, goody, goody, goody. And look who our teachers are today. The teachers that are teaching now in public schools were raised with Dr. Spock. What are they now? They don't know nothing. They were raised on television, rebellion. Have you seen all these old hippies now getting older? They got, you know, long hair in their back, you know, and they got it kind of, you know, twink down a little bit, what do you call it, one of these things hanging down, ponytail, whatever. And they look just as wild as they did in the 60s, just older. They just drive nicer cars. They don't drive VW buses anymore. They are making money now. They're driving BMWs and other cars. But they're still hippies. You see, we have not understood that we got to maintain control of our children. If we don't, we're going to lose the nation. Number three, hear therefore Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God your father promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is my Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them upon a post of your house and on your gates. And it shall be when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which you swore to your father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a great and godly city which you build not, houses full of good things which you fill not, and wells digged which you dig not, vineyards and olive trees which you planted not, when you shall have eaten and be full, then beware lest you forget the Lord which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord with your God and serve him and shall swear by his name. Now, I ask people when you go through deliverance, can you tell me about your background? Where did your grandparents came from? What is your lineage? Do you know that most people today do not know anything past their parents? What did your great-grandfather do? What country did you come from? Where are you heading? Where have your family been? I don't know. We came out of the West someplace or the East or, you know, who knows? What a tragedy. As a child, as a young person, I sat down with my aunts and uncles, and I said, tell me what happened when you were growing up. Tell me about grandpa and grandma, great-grandfather. Let me know what happened. I was fortunate. I can go back in my history, in my family, to about 1860. And I know why I'm here today. I know what happened on both my father's and mother's side. I know those were saved and not saved. It's like you're living. It's like they are still alive but still gone. And this is what the Jews have. They have continuity. Where you and I today do not really have continuity. We don't know where we came from. And most people don't know where they're going. They're going there fast. And then God said this. You should not go after other gods. Of the gods of the people that are around about you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You should not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa. You should not go after other gods. You know, today we got to fight. Occult symbols are everywhere. They're creeping in. And people are simply not thinking, what do I wear? What kind of symbols do I have on me? Many people, they like to buy a little mermaid, a little water fountain. That's occult. God did not create a naked woman with a fish's bottom. It's for the devil. You cannot bring it into your home and say, oh, this is just art. We have all kind of different things. Probably the most prevalent is the pentagram, which is also known as the Star of David. And we use the pentagram, we use the Star of David, and we use the five-pointed star. They put stars on everything. Have you noticed that? And people wear things with stars and they don't think. But that is attracting demons. It's flying in the face of God. Look on your clothing. Look on your designs before you buy things and say, is this pure or is this not holy? Verse 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that he may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. And when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what means the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say unto your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt and Pharaoh, upon all his house and before eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve, underline that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments for the Lord our God as he commanded us. I have a rich heritage, and I go back in my bloodline. I was not born in this country. But I go back to D.L. Moody, Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist, that shook America and the world. In the 1860s, after the Civil War, and all the way up to this century, 1900. How do I know that? Because I learned my family history. I had a great-great-grandfather, 20-some-odd years ago, that about in the late 1860s came to Chicago and worked there. And when he was in Chicago, someone brought him to a D.L. Moody revival meeting. And he gave his heart to Christ there. He didn't speak a whole lot of English. Probably had a bad Swedish accent on it. Not only got his say, but he got filled with the Holy Ghost and excited. His wife-to-be would not come here. But God brought him to America to get saved. He went back to Sweden, and they called him America Johnson. But he led his family to Christ. He raised a godly, godly family. And I'm a great-grandson of that man that gave his life to Christ. His wife, after he had died, she would sit by the window. And she would tell the children, her grandchildren coming in, which would be my aunts and uncles, "You see the eastern sky. Someday Jesus is going to come and take us home." That's my heritage on my dad's side. On my mom's side, I have 3 fiery preachers that were part of the revival in the late 1880s, 1890s in Sweden. They preached the gospel. God said, if we serve in one generation, He will bless the next generation and the next generation. We need to understand that we need to honor our parents, and we need to know what is our heritage. Where did we come from? And if you don't have a heritage, you come from heathens, simply say, I'm going to start a heritage with me and my children and my grandchildren, if they are to be. Look at the outline. Just like the milk for the mother, the newborn baby is passing on vital essentials. You and I know that. The first 3-4 days are crucial. That's when the mother will pass different immune system parts that they need. Different things that would help the baby to be immune to diseases. You deprive a baby that, you can have a sick baby. The longer a mother nurses a baby, the better that baby's going to be. And we're going to learn to take instructions. The reason that so many people are taking a ditching in this ministry is that they will not take advice. When we pray with them and talk to them, it says, yeah, yeah, yeah. But in their heart, the simply says, forget that, I'm going to do what I want to do. What a tragedy it is. What I have to meet with people, either behind bars, or in a hospital, or some other place when somebody died, and tears are running down our faces. And this is, old Pastor John, I should have listened. And I'm so sick when I hear that. Because I simply feel, well, why didn't you? Because I see the destruction. We got to learn to take instructions. We got to pass the word of God from one generation to the other. Why do we have a Sunday school? I was amazed, and I want to say this to you parents. I'm not going to tell you whose child I talked about. I talked to a child or a couple of children here. And I asked them this. Tell me, can you tell me the lineage from Abraham down a few generations? They said, no. I said, where does Jacob fit in relation to Isaac? I don't know. Well, haven't you been in Sunday school? Yeah. But we never learned that. Essentials. Our children, the most precious we have. Sunday school should be our priority. Because if we do not raise our children right, what have we got? An empty nest. Now, you cannot survive the Sunday schools you teach them. You parents need to teach. Remember, I gave you a timeline. I showed you the timeline from Adam all the way down and listed all the different major things. Did you show that to your children? Did you sit down and say, now look here, son, here's a Bible, look upon these times, and did you help them to come to understanding? We need to take time with our children. You need to sit down with them and educate them. They look up to daddy. If it's important to daddy, it's important to them. If daddy says, oh, I don't care, the children said, I don't care. Men had the greatest responsibility. In Joshua chapter 22, Joshua 22, 26. You know, the world government is furious about homeschoolers. They hate homeschoolers. And they said homeschoolers were not excelling college and they would simply not make it. And they were proven wrong. Homeschoolers are doing real good when they come to college. Matter of fact, they're doing better than the others. So God bless you homeschooling parents. I really have a lot of respect for you. Joshua 22, 26. Therefore we said, let us not prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generation after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. Therefore, Sebi, that it shall be when they would say so to our generation in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. What this teaches us? The adults are saying this, look, we in our generation know where we are, but our children and our grandchildren will might not remember what we have done. So we're going to build an altar, and we're going to write down upon this altar so they can see what happened in our time for generations to come. Have you prepared an altar in your life? Father, mothers, have you, to your best knowledge, sat down and wrote down your family history? Who your parents were? Where they were born? If you know about your grandparents, have you written a short history of your life? How you were raised? How you got saved? How God has worked in your life? Because someday when you're gone, that's going to be lost. The Israelites and the Jews, they give each family has a family history. It's passed on from generation to generation. They read it. They know it. We are sloppy. We don't know. We need to pass on that information. Now turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans the 8th chapter. Romans. And I really want to speak deeply to you right now. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28 we start. Let me read what I wrote here, what God gave me. Regardless if your parents walk with God or not, you should honor them. Honoring your parents does not mean that you have to agree with them. if they are not to the will of God, but to respect them. God used them to give you the gift of life. That's important. You have to respect them. You might not agree with them. Let me talk to you about a family. This particular woman was about 40 years old. She was divorced, an alcoholic. She lived in Texas. This goes back in the 1940s, late 40s. And in the bar some night, drunk, she had sex. She got pregnant. And when she found out she was pregnant, people around her advised her, said, "Hey, kill the baby. Abort the baby. You're too old. You're an alcoholic. You will have a crippled baby. Just kill the baby." For some reason, this woman did not abort the baby. She did not kill the baby. And a Baptist minister and his wife took the woman in and said, "You can stay with us. We will take care of you for your pregnancy, and we will adopt your baby. We want him." He was born, baby boy. And he got adopted. And his mother drifted away, still drunk, doing her thing. And they raised him up. At a young age, God called this boy to preach the gospel. He became an evangelist. He was not only preaching in small churches. He rose, and for 20 years he became a world evangelist. He had crusades. He led, they figured out the statistic, he led about 1 million people to Christ in his meetings. He's still active. And you know, as he was older, his mother was dying or sick. This boy went to his mom. And I believe that she accepted Christ. She had accepted Christ. And he hugged her and he loved her. And he said, "Thank you, Mom. Thank you for not killing me. Thank you, Mom, for giving me life. You did not know how to raise me, but God used you. And I have reached people." Who was his dad? He doesn't know. Just some guy drunk in a bar one night. But he has a dad someplace that you got to respect. You know the name of the evangelist? James Robinson. A man of compassion, of love, has done tremendously good. Listen to me as we read these scriptures. Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Him and I were your spirit." Some of you had great parents. Some of you had less good parents. But know this. God selected your father. God selected your mother. He knew who you were to be born to. It is a purpose. God can take something broken and repair it and make something beautiful of something that is not beautiful. Release the bitterness against your mom and dad if you have it. Simply say, "Father God, in the name of Jesus, I forgive. And I'm going to respect them. I might not agree with them, but I'm going to respect them. I'm going to love them to my best capacity. And I will tell them this, I love you even if you do not love me. This is what God wants us to do. And this is when you and I can have a release, a total release. I praise God. I was a pain in the neck to my parents when I was growing up. They probably would have wished I would never been born. And I mistreated them so badly until I left home and I learned how much I loved them. And I thank God that I was able to be saved, that my mom and dad came into the kingdom of God. And he gave me 15 years with my father. Well, the years lost. Now, my dad did not have the education I had. Why did I have an education? Because my father and mother gave it to me. They were the one that pushed me. He did not know all the things I knew. But I learned this. When I walk into my parents' house, I don't call the shots. I'm the son. That was my dad and my mom. I asked them, can I do this? Can I do that? I respect them. And this is what God means. Honor your father, your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives them. Your mom and dad might be dead. You can't talk to them, but thank God for them. Thank God for what they did for you with the light they had, because they did the best they could. You got to remember, they were teenagers at one time, just young people just like you have been. And you remember what a mess we made in our lives. They made the same mess in their lives. And the next generation will do it too unless we teach them right. In Ephesians chapter 6, and this is important, we learn this now. When parents are in the will of God, children must obey them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice now that Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord. He doesn't say obey your parents, period. Because if your dad is a dope dealer, you can't obey him. If your mom is a whore, you can't obey her. If they say we're going to go and crack a bank this afternoon, we want you to drive the getaway car, you can't say, okay, Dad, I will obey you. No, you don't. You obey them in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, that he may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. A nation can only last if children honor their parents. I believe also that we can have a long life where we honor our fathers and our mothers. I want to use an example again, and Rita Jackson's mom, I think she was about 98 years old when she died. Something like that. And here's little Rita. She was in her 80s at that time. And she went down to her mom's place to help her to clean up and to do things. Here's a daughter, 80 years old, taking care of her mother. I think she drove until she was about 92, 91. She drove. Very independent. And I had a privilege. I was going down with Rita a couple of times, my wife and I. And I watched Rita in relation to her mother. And I saw the respect that this woman gave. I saw the love that she gave. And I saw the relationship between. This is what we are missing in today's society, that relationship. With God's help, we can get it back. Parents, don't provoke your children. Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up and nurture them out admonition of the Lord. What does it mean to provoke them? Don't use your authority to have fun. Don't do bad things to them. Don't provoke them. Don't tease them. But love them. Discipline them. Walk with them like Jesus is walking with us. And then finally turn back to 2 Kings chapter 17. That's 2 Kings chapter 17. And this is what God wrote it for me. If a generation does not preserve its heritage, then their children and grandchildren will destroy themselves and the nation. People, this is what's happening right now in America. The children are destroying themselves and the nation. Think about it. How many people do you know, 45 years and down, that are on dope, drugs, different kind, alcohol? They are simply irresponsible. They destroy their lives. Yet, they had children. And their children are the same, just a bunch of unruly people just running all over the place. What a tragedy. God wants to do something in our lives. In 2 Kings chapter 17, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, son of Elah, to reign in Samaria, Israel, 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria, placed them in Hala and in Habor by the river of Goshen, in the city of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had feared of the gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which they had made. And the children of Israel did seek to do things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. They set up images and groves in every high hill and every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord has said to them, you should not do these things. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets, by all the seers, saying, turn you from evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I command your fathers, which I sent you by my servant the prophets. Notwithstanding, they will not hear, but harden their necks, like the neck of their father, they knew the Lord of God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers. And his test would you testify against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen. They were round about them concerning whom the Lord had charged them. They should not like them. They should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images even two calves that made it grow and worshipped on the host of heaven and served Baal. And he caused his sons and his daughters to pass through the fire. That means they took their own children and sacrificed them upon the altars and killed them. They used divination enchantments and sold themselves to the evil disciples to provoke into anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. God was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. And there was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Today, we have not been carried away captive to another country. But our children today are being carried away into captivity. Go to any high school. Go to any public school. And watch the children come down as I see them in the mornings when I drive to work sometimes. The same baggy pants. The same hairdo. Backpacks on them. They shuffle in. They all look the same. And they all going to be taught evolution. They're going to be introduced to drugs. Teachers will give them condoms. They're going to teach about sex before marriage. And these children are being destroyed. They're being raped in our own country. Why? It's a judgment upon the land. I want you to think about it. Some of you have lost children to drugs. Some of you lost them to other things. Some of you praying day and night for your son, for your daughter, not to be caught up into the world. You know the heartache. It's not easy to raise children here. And it all goes back to this. The fifth commandment. Let me read it to you again. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon a land which the Lord your God gives you. Is there hope? I believe so. We've seen it. If we simply as a church says, Father God, forgive us for not having prayed for this. We begin to pray for our schools. We begin to take interest in them. You see, children today are responding to the gospel. In our public schools, despite all of this, when somebody comes in with a gospel, children will respond. They are coming to Christ, but they need leadership. They need prayer. Will we give it to them? If we can get out of our apathy, getting out of having our own problems, and focus upon the Lord. I'll tell you what I did in my life. When I read this commandment, number 5, I said, Father God, forgive me if I've been so bad to my mom and dad. And I went to my mother and father, and I asked them for forgiveness. And I said, please forgive me for being such a rotten son. They forgave me. And I'm glad that I could have restitution. If your parents are dead, just ask God to forgive you if you were a bad child. Say, Father God, forgive me for this. Cleanse me. Help me to have the respect and love for my parents, even if they're not walking with you. And release me from all the bitterness. And help me to raise my child, my children, in the Word of God. Let's stand. Let's pray. I want to pray for you watching us by television, right now, video, audio. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now, Lord, for these commandments you have given. They are so simple, and yet they're so hard. And Father, we ask for forgiveness, Lord, as a nation, that we have not honored our parents the way we should, Lord. We have taken them lightly. Father God, we just bought the devil's lie, and we treated our parents horrible. Some of us didn't upload. There's some people in the church that did write. But God's a nation, forgive us. Cleanse us with the blood of Jesus. And help us, Father God, to come to the place where we recognize that regardless what dad and mom did, they are parents. They are dad and mom. And they gave us life. And we will respect them. We will honor them. We will pray for them. We're still alive on this earth. We will try to lead them to Christ. Because somebody got to touch them. I pray, Father God, right now for every father and mother listening to me right now in church, watching by video, or audio cassette. Help them, Lord, to be strong with our children, to be loving and kind but firm. If they're still small, to get them either Christian homeschooling or take them to Christian school. But Father God, touch our children. And we thank and we praise you for that right now. Touch our land. In Jesus' name. Amen. You watching me by audio, actually video, or hear me on audio cassette, write us, talk to us, call us if you want prayer. If we're still here, we pray with you, minister to you. Thank you for coming to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church today. And if you're not saved, if you says, well, I heard this and I'm not even saved, praise God, you're in the right place. You can get saved right now. Here's what you do. Simply say this, I'm a sinner. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ, that He's the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day. And through His death and resurrection, I can be saved. Father God, forgive me my sins. Cleanse me right now. And Jesus, come into my heart and my life and be my Lord and Savior right now. Save me right now. In Jesus' name. You pray that prayer. You got born again. That's all it takes. Simple. You must say, where do I go from now? God will teach you. If you don't have a church, find a place where they preach the Bible, believe in prayer, don't have anything else. If we're still here, this might be 10, 15 years from now, call us. But if we're not here, we're in heaven. God will send you some Bible preaching church or someone that can help you to grow. May the Lord richly bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.